Howdy! Thanks for tuning into Orion Photo Group's exclusive podcast. For each episode, we're going to dive into the lives of OPG's photographers and videographers across the country. We're going to talk shop, hear their stories, and listen to any advice they want to offer us up. So grab a tasty beverage and settle in for some fun conversations featuring our little community. That's you. Let's go! All right, welcome to this episode of Success Stories. I am joined here today. Actually, let me start this off by saying, I hope you're doing well out there. And I hope everyone's having a great wedding season so far. I know this will probably be in the early spring, so I hope you're not like me and scratching your eyes. And I know Jason's dialing in from DC area. I hope the cherry blossoms are not destroying you as much as they do for me. That's always a brutal time of year for me.
Always,
as far as that's concerned. So hopefully that's not happening to you and like that. So Jason Smith is joining us here from the DC area. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad. Here to talk, here to chat.
Yeah. We've had some interactions with each other over the last few months since I've started here over the last year or so. I see that you are, there's a couple things that I want to talk to you today about. You're in the DC area. You haven't always been in the DC area. It looks like you're from LA originally, yep. If that's correct.
Yep. Originally, I moved out here, 10 years ago.
Okay.
Before I came here, I was in New York for a couple of years for grad school.
Okay. So that's what brought you to the East Coast. I was going to say, how do you move from LA to the East Coast?
Really good pizza. and just mainly grad school. And then I was able to get a job down in DC and I was like, okay. Hey, maybe I should try this photography thing. And then it kind of just went rolling from there.
Cool. I don't disagree with you in that moving to the East Coast for pizza is a completely legitimate reason to move.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What was it putting you on the spot? Favorite pizza in New York City?
That's a tough question. There's one place I always try to go to. Things called like Roberta's.
Yeah.
But it's like a hipster place.
Oh, in Brooklyn.
So it's not. Yeah, in Brooklyn. Yeah. So it's not by the slice. It's like a whole pizza. But like,
yeah.
I first went there. Me and my old roommate. We got individual pizzas, and they were like, this pizza's so good. We got a whole third pizza and split it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah. You go and stand in line for half an hour. It's in Dumbo, right?
Just
north of Dumbo, I think.
Yeah.
I think I need to look it up while we're talking. But if it's the place I'm thinking of, yeah. Stand in line for half an hour. The pies are made fresh. They're brick oven pizzas.
Yeah,
mozzarella is like nothing you have dreams about, and it's so funny. Like I think I brought a pizza in these podcasts about half of the time, but we could. I think one of these days, maybe I just need to do pizza podcasts. But anyway, moved from LA to the East Coast, and I see here that you went to grad school. I guess it was for some sort of museum stuff, right?
Yeah, so I went to NYU, New York University, for museum studies. So that kind of started me working with collections. And then when I came out to DC, I ended up working with the Smithsonian doing contract photography. And that's kind of started my, hey, how do I get into photography? Like working with actual people. So from there, I joined a couple of meetups and I was like, hey, maybe I should try this whole wedding photography. And that was like 7 years ago. And I've been doing wedding photography since.
That's really it. So that's a very interesting intro into the wedding photography space in general. Grad school was NYU, is that correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's cool. And museum studies. So let's just talk about the museum studies a little bit. Like, it's super interesting. So you work full time now for a museum, right?
I work with the Library of Congress. So like,
wow.
Related to digital. I'm like a project coordinator for our digital collection that we're working on.
Okay.
It kind of started, you know, with me. I was like, I'm not one to like, I wanted to preserve the past, but the best way for me to do that was take pictures.
Huh.
And that kind of helped me like learn the basics of photography, learn the basics of lighting, kind of make stuff more presentable to the public. And like, we had this issue of like, or what we always talk about, like a you know, an archival image versus like a publication image, and meaning like the things you see in magazines versus the things you see on like a museum's website. I worked on the things you see in museum website simply because it was way easier. but like, you know, during my time as a contractor before I started this current job, I probably photographed like 10,000 objects over a couple years. So it was a lot of work, but it was fun because you get to touch things that are like older than your parents, older than your grandparents, like really old stuff. But then every now and then you see like really cool artifacts. I remember one time I was working on one of our art collections, and it was a poster of a Star Wars radio show.
Wow.
I was like, what? but it was like something you would never see, but it was like, here I am taking a picture of it. So it was really cool.
That's really neat. And you know, getting to photograph artifacts like that must be really interesting work. I know one of my commercial jobs I had way back when, I worked for Tiffany's, and nice. We would shoot in the Tiffany's photo studio. They had their own in-house studio on Fifth Avenue. One of the fun things is that I used to do the page three Tiffany ads back in the day when people read magazines. I'm dating myself a little bit, but we used to photograph these incredible pieces of jewelry to do it. And every now and again, like we'd get to photograph, like, I forget if it was one of like the Queen of France or like the crown jewels or an engagement ring to some wealthy European aristocrat. And it would be like, you know, a 20 carat diamond or something like that.
Ooh.
And it was really, really neat. And we had very specific ways of photographing this stuff. And they would pull it out and it would come with three security guards and they would literally stand there and watch you photograph this thing. It was a little nerve wracking.
Oh, yeah,
so, and you only had a certain amount of time. Like they literally had to take out an insurance policy for us to photograph this thing so they could put it back in their archives.
Wow.
It was really neat to do it and get to see these things, and you would touch it, obviously, you know, with very specific processes. So that's what I kind of, I'm curious about with that kind of stuff. You know, learning how to photograph and archive stuff, like, what is the process in that? Like, what is your, how do you do that?
So I was really lucky. I was able to get an internship while I was in grad school working at my old institution. And I had kind of like a team. So it was like one contractor, it was a contract photographer, and two volunteers. And then a couple of, sorry, my monitor just went out. Can you see me?
Yeah, you're good. I can still see you.
Okay. Anyways. So one of the, this is really awkward. It's like a black screen. Anyways. So one of the guy, like the two volunteers are like, you know, they're retired. They just come here to photograph. So they taught me a lot. And then my boss, was like more of a mentor. She was like, all right, he was the guy who was like, I'm going to leave you alone. You figure it out.
Okay.
So that's kind of, yeah. So that's what I did. I just learned how to do photography, the basics on like aperture, shutter speed, ISO, and just like we had like light setup. So I just like, you know, toyed with lighting. And it kind of was like, after a while, I was like, all right, I understand how to shoot in a museum and basic lighting. It's all pretty much straightforward.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, how do I shoot people? How do I go about doing that? And for me, it's just like, okay, so what I did, I just like, hey, you know, meetups. There's like meetup. I found this meetup group. And I was like, you know, I don't know what. I don't know what I'm getting into. But I was like, let me go there and photograph. Let's see what happens. So then I was able to start working with people. And it helped me because, like, I'm a very, like, active social guy. So it was, like, being able to talk to people, understand how they want to be photographed, understand what they're wearing, kind of helps me take better pictures. So I take that experience plus my museum experience, it kind of over the years has kind of developed my own personal style to photography. And then after a while, I was like, you know, photography is a very expensive hobby. I need to find a way. I need to find a way to like figure out how to pay for this hobby. And then I was like, no, I was on my first like wedding company. I was on Craigslist. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, let me see if anyone happens to be looking for photographers. And I found them, and I emailed them, and like 6 months later, I heard back. He was like, I need a second. Can you work for me? And then my first wedding, it was horrible. And that was like the worst thing. I was like, I am never looking at those images again. But it's nice because I was able to like say, all right, this is like pretty cool. I like working with brides, grooms, people, coordinators, working with the other photographers. And then I ended up working with our group a couple years after the fact. So that's like, you know, 2022. Yeah. And I was like, all right, okay, this is really cool. Because it's like now instead of like, because my other company, they have like a lot of like the same old couples, same style. But with us, there's so many different brides, couples, types of weddings, types of photographers, where you really get the whole like one day you're doing a like Korean wedding, next day you're doing like an American, like Caucasian wedding, yeah. And then it's like an Indian wedding, and then like the way you shoot all those is totally different. And that's the one thing I like is like you know, as a second, you can just like, all right, I'm going to figure out how to do this and not worry about getting all the main shots, even though like I can, cause I've been doing that for so long and definitely have done it when I need to, but I can kind of piece it together, see what works, see what doesn't work, make sure I have a good equipment. And then I'll talk to the leads, be like, oh yeah, hey, there's this piece of equipment. There's that piece of equipment. If you do this, you do that, you'll get a different shot. And a lot of the leads are just like very, very helpful, very cool, very relaxed people. And now I'm like, I'm tired of being the second.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I definitely want to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. For sure. So there's a ton I want to unpack there. That's great. It's great. So first of all, you know, as a wedding photographer, I think that it's very interesting. You know, you definitely touched on it a little bit. So like, to be a wedding photographer, you have to be great at everything. You know, there are many commercial photographers, like there are people who specialize in just doing museum art, and that's all they do. Shooting flat art is not that hard. And shooting museum art is not that hard, but there's a very specific way of doing it. And there are some people that are really good at it. Once you nail it, it's basically like no different than making widgets or anything like that. It's the same process over and over again.
Yep.
And keeping consistency is the most important thing, so that the museum people get this consistent work, right? And then you go out and shoot as a wedding photographer, and you have to be good at everything. You have to shoot flat art when you're doing details. You have to be good at shooting clothing. You have to be good at working with people. You have to be good at working and shooting people. And you have to be good at shooting all kinds of colors of people as well, right? Which is something that, again, you're getting a great experience working with OPG, because it is a very diverse group of clientele, which I think you definitely touched on something that I don't think we talk about enough, in that when you do work with us and you work with OPG, you're going to shoot a lot of different kinds of weddings, where I can tell you in my career, I pretty much shot the same type of clientele all the time. And I would get, 1 year it would be a lot of Jewish weddings, and the next year I would shoot a mixture of Jewish and Indian weddings, just based on the referrals that I was getting and then sprinkle some Catholic weddings in there. And that was pretty much it. That's my 30-year career, right? With OPG, you have a lot of different people. And I think being in the DC area definitely helps with diversity as far as that's concerned too. Mm-hmm. And I spoke with a gentleman yesterday who's in the New York area, and he definitely shoots a lot of different kinds of weddings. So that's definitely a huge advantage of working with us is that, and if you're building your portfolio working with us, that's going to be huge. And I was looking at your, I was looking at your portfolio, which is great, by the way. And I love the fact that there is such a huge mixture of different kinds of weddings. There was one in here that I had never seen, and I'm trying to pull it up here as we talk, that had very interesting clothing. He was wearing like a gold, where is it now? Shoot. They were wearing like a gold jacket. It was very embroidered.
Oh.
My gosh, where is it now? Now I'm not finding it. Shoot. never mind. Yeah. So maybe I'll get to it at some point. Sorry. But lots of the other thing that I wanted to talk to you about mainly, and this is where I want to spend some time with you, is you just became a lead not too long ago. And you started with us as an associate. So I want to talk to you about that because you're one of our people that moved up from associate to lead pretty quickly. I believe after 10 weddings. And I know that you definitely felt confident about making that move. So to begin with, you come on board with us as an associate. I know that your goal was to be a lead with us. And for all those listening out there, we want you to become a lead. If you start with us as an associate, it is in our best interest to bring you up as a lead. So we want you to go out and shoot weddings. We want you to shoot lots of weddings, and we want to grow you as a photographer so that you can build that portfolio so that you can become a lead at some point. So that's really important to us. So you were definitely very motivated because for somebody, I believe you only shot 10 weddings with us before you moved up to a lead. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think when I started talking about it, it was a handful of weddings, probably around 10.
Okay.
I know. Yeah, it was probably within that time frame when I started emailing y'all about wanting to be a lead. But I know it was one of those, like, I had like a couple weddings throughout the year, and then in October I did like 8 weddings, mainly with y'all. And I was just like, yeah, I think it's time for me to step it up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And I think it's, and you know, as someone who's been doing a second for a while, you kind of get to the point where you're like, okay, half the time I'm shooting, I am the lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's either the lead's taking a break, they're doing some details, or it's too chaotic, or... Yeah, I had one time, and it wasn't nobody's fault, but it was like the wedding party was late, the reception hall was late, and they only scheduled the lead and I for like 5 hours. Mm. So I ended up shooting the whole entire reception by myself. And I was like, well, this is the first. I was like, I'm glad I brought my
sink or swim.
Right. But it was one of those, like, I could, and this is something that I think that separates someone who's like comfortable and ready to be a lead versus someone who still needs some more practice. Is like, I could tell that the bride was like, she was having a day because like the coordinator, she fired one coordinator.
Oh boy.
And because it was like the venue had coordinator. So like she fired one coordinator, that the venue replaced that coordinator, and the one that was fired from working our event showed up. So there was two coordinators, and I knew the bride was like, don't let me see her. and I was like, okay, I got you. I will take care of you. We'll make this day happen. But like the couple was like, I remember this one time, cause like I was like doing a reception and it was like around dinner. And they were like, all right, take a couple more pictures. And they were like, go eat now. I was like, they were taking care of me because they knew I was taking care of them. And that's the hard part, is you really have to be able to have that communication skills, to really work well with the couple, because we, you know, represent the brand. So if we mess up, it's on us and the brand. And it's like, communication is always key.
And that's usually when, you know, for those of you who are associates that are listening into this, that's, you just described exactly when you know you're ready to be a lead. It's not necessarily the technical abilities as much as it is the ability to feel confident in that, conversations with the couple and being able to communicate with them. I know, and you know, it really is important. That confidence is just so important. Obviously you need the technical skills and the ability to do the job. You're definitely an anomaly as far as, really feeling confident. And I think that really comes down to, extroverts, which I can tell that you are, I'm an extrovert and it's built into, who we are. We don't mind raising our hand, when there's a question or, being the first person to say, you know, I'm looking for a volunteer or, you know, I'm sure that that photographer, if he didn't feel comfortable about leaving you there, you know, at the end of the day, he wouldn't have left you there.
Right.
But he knew that you were, because obviously that would be irresponsible for the lead to do that if you didn't have the experience to do it. So those are, if you're asking yourself, am I ready to be a lead? Ask yourself that question. Are you ready to be the person that's in charge dealing with the person who just fired their coordinator? And, you know, a big part of our job is also psychologist and being able to deal with very difficult situations. And quite often we do take over the job of the coordinator because a lot of times will have the experience that they need to do it and don't know how to manage a lot of people. Which is unfortunate because generally it screws up everybody's day when you have the worst the worst person in charge of the coordination for the day. So, and by the way, I just found that image while we were talking. It looks like it's a Greek Orthodox wedding. They're wearing like a gold crown with a triangle on top of it. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, that's what that is. I love Greek Orthodox weddings. The details and the ceremonies are really, really beautiful.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. You're ready to make that move. I want to talk to you about, like, during those 10 weddings, you were able to build a really nice portfolio in that time.
Yeah,
and, one of the things that might be not frustrating, but like, you need different things. Like, was there a goal that you went into each wedding? Like, I need, and I talk about this a lot, like for every wedding that I ever shot, there was always a goal for me to get one great shot of something. Was it your goal just to take great shots the entire day, or was there specific things, or, you know, talk to me a little bit about that.
Number one goal, whatever the couple wants, that gets done.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Right. But in terms of like building a portfolio, not really. Okay. I just kind of, because I overshoot. So like when I first started out, I would have like an 8-hour wedding and I might have like 3,000 images, so which is a lot to process.
But you don't have to worry about that,
right? No. Not anymore. So my one goal is to focus less on the quantity and more of the quality.
Trying
to make sure you get all the shots that you need, but then you find those like special moments of like grandma or mom holding that child and they're on the dance floor and you just take a picture by themselves. You know, the couple, they have that one moment where it's just them after the ceremony and you get that one special little image. What I like to do is, depending on whether or not the couple drinks, I like to do them sitting down, doing little cheers and kissing at the same time. I like to do that as like, because that's like a big, like, you know, you can close close the day with that shot. Sometimes I like to just like get in the middle of the dance floor and just start shooting very tight close-ups. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, it really showcases the like a party aspect of wedding, because everyone's like, oh, the ceremony, the dress. I'm like, let's get drunk, let's take some pictures. Not that I don't drink on work, but I'm like, let's have a party, let's showcase the party. Because a lot of times, I know we had this one couple I was working with, they're like, we want pictures of everybody. I'm like, well, that's a lot, but it's like, the best way to do that is just get everyone on the dance floor. And I was working with this one couple last year, it was late last year. And they were like one of the coolest, chill, best couples I worked with. But I could not get a picture besides like their first dance of the two of them on the dance floor. And I was like, y'all are partiers. Y'all are drinking, having time, good times. But they were like, you know, they were chatty with everyone. They wanted to talk to everyone. They wanted to do that. And I was like, look, we're leaving. Like, it was me and like two a lead and a video guy. And I was like, look, follow me, start dancing. And
I was like, yeah, sometimes you got to prompt them and say, I need you on that dance floor. I don't have any pictures of you doing it. I got to get that shot.
And they were there for like 5 minutes.
Yep.
I got everything that I needed.
Yeah.
And then we left. But I was like, I know they're going to want that. But to go on to add to that, the couple had, the bride had a brother that passed away. So they made up a really fun routine where they would open up a beer. They would drink they would put a candle in the beer. They let it go throughout the majority of the day. And then the two sisters and any family members who wanted to would drink the beer as a way to remember the brother that passed away. And I was like, this is like one of the most important parts of this wedding.
Yeah.
And no one knows what's going on except for like the three people that were involved. And
that's cool.
So to me, that's the moment. If you miss it, they will not talk about how good you are. They will talk about how bad you are.
Right.
So stuff like that, you know, trying to make sure you capture all the, like, for me, it's like photojournalism. I try to catch people when they're not looking. I tell everyone, I was like, pretend I'm not here. Mm-hmm. You will know I'm here, but pretend I'm not here. Because some people are going to be like, they're going to start posing. And I'm like, I don't want, no. In my eyes, it's more real if you're not looking at me.
Yeah.
And those are the best pictures. Mm-hmm. Some people will disagree, but for me, I'm like, those candidates are what I love and what I am to shoot for.
And that's definitely, those skills are definitely, as an associate, those are great places to hone those skills and learn those photojournalistic skills. Cool. All right, last question for you. Working as an associate and then working with all different kinds of leads, what advice can you offer to the associates in working with the leads leading up to the wedding day, on the wedding day, and after the wedding day?
Yep. I was bad about this. So I worked with one lead and I was like, oh, hey, man, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. So, and then like 2 weeks later, I worked with him again and I didn't message him, okay. Even though we're supposed to. I was like, oh, he knows me. He's not going to worry about that. But when I called him, he was like, oh my God, dude, I was freaking out. I didn't. I was like, and then he was like, oh man, it's you. I'm not worried now. I know you're fine. But it's just like, make sure you contact him, even just like a text.
Yeah.
Just to say, hey, I saw everything. How's it going? But then the day of, I do like a general walkthrough. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the one thing you should always do when you're getting on site. Just do a general walkthrough and be like, all right, I'm going to take some like overall shots of the venue, some shots of the details, if anything's set up. Normally nothing is set up at that time when we get there. I like to do like a walk-in shot, like as if you were a guest, like the first thing you see is like the front door.
Yeah.
And so there's the big shots like that. Mm-hmm. And then from there, depending on like whether or not the lead's there or they come later, I check in with the lead. I check in with the bride. And then I check in with the groom. And then I just kind of stay with the groom. I pop in and out just to see what's going on, see if I can get some shots of the bride because you need that for your gallery. And then just kind of like, all right, so who are the key players? Like who's the dad, who's the mom, who's the grandma, who's there, who's wrangling all the kids? Mm-hmm. is there a dog? Because some people have, you know, pets that they want to bring. Mm-hmm. Is there any details that I need to take care of that the lead can't, like the rings, the groom shoes? And just kind of going there. Then from there, it's just like a general check-in. once you're kind of doing first, if you're doing first look, no first look, some people do first touch, which is kind of, that one was bizarre because they were both in a big room and there was windows everywhere so you can see each other, but they're like, yeah, whatever. But it was very sentimental because it was something that I've never seen done before. But it's one of those, you have to be really synced with your lead to make sure that you have the best shot that you can get and respect the wishes of the couple. So like communication with the lead is important, but also check in with the vendor, like who are the vendors that are there, whether it's like a florist, DJ, the coordinators, because sometimes those people can save you in a heartbeat. You're like, I need this, and they're like, here you go. Or a lot of times if the location has its own coordinator, they're like, okay, shoot here, shoot here, shoot here, shoot here. This is where everyone shoots because of this. Makes your job 1,000 times easier. And then as the second, I would be like, all right, I'm going to tell the lead. I'm like, all right, here's what these people said. What do you think? And they will just be like, yes, or we'll do something else. So that's one thing. And then you kind of go with the ceremony, whether it's a church or a venue, checking with the priest, rabbi, whoever the religious figure, just to like make sure the rules of the church, because you always want to be respectful. Some churches are like, you can stand right next to me, use the flash, I don't care. Some are like, if I see you, I'm stopping everything and I'm gonna yell at you. And so, and you're like, I'm not gonna be that person to get yelled at. But so check in, and then from there, I always give tips to the groom, because I'm always with them the most. I'm like, pretend no one's here, have your moment, just relax. I always be like, I was joking, just light up the moon. I'm like, you only have to say one line. I do. Can you do that? And then they start laughing.
I like that. Like,
yeah. You want to try to like lighten the mood, make them relax. It's like, it's the most important day in their lives. They are already nervous. So just a fun way to kind of relax. And then with the, and then depending on the groom and the groomsman, they're probably doing shots, drinking anyways. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, did you eat? So stuff like that, just general check-in. And then from there, it's like, all right, I talked to the lead, like, all right, so you're going to do first look, or you're going to do the family portraits and all of that. So I kind of like, depending on who the lead is, I either like stay around to see if they need help, or I end up going to the reception cocktail hour. I kind of go back and forth between what's going on, what's just checking in to make sure everything's good. Take some more candidates, take some. And this is like the awkward part of like, people are still kind of like not really relaxed from the wedding. They're still like crying and everything, but it's cocktail hours. So you got to get all those shots of people as people enjoying the party. Because a lot of times what will happen is people will stay for cocktail hour. They might stay for like an hour of dinner and then they're going to leave. So if you don't get them there, you might miss them. And then that's when you'll hear back from the couple, like, you didn't get a picture of so-and-so. So take as much pictures as you can, whether or not it's a good picture, you got it covered. And then from there, it's just like, it's a party. So it's just like, we have like, I bring lights for the reception hall. Some people don't, some people do. It really doesn't matter. It's what you are comfortable and what's within your budget. Because like my light setup is like, you know, there's two lights that are like, you know, $700 each.
Right.
The trigger is like $300. So it adds up. But with any photographer, I always say, shoot what you have, save for what you want, and then go from there. And you can always rent equipment if need be.
Right. Yeah, you've got quite a bit of gear. And actually, I want to talk real quick about that, then we're going to wrap up. But I see. So a couple things that I just want to make a point on that. I thank you for starting with the fact that as an associate, it is your job to call the lead the week before the wedding and discuss the wedding. I love that you discuss the fact that you had somebody that you had previously worked with. You feel like you didn't need to make that call. You technically really are supposed to, even if it's just a text to check in with them, to make them more comfortable. And I love the fact that, you know, you're definitely looking out to, take care of the lead photographer in a support role, you know, as a lead, as an associate, you're generally going to be shooting the groomsmen. And then, you know, I love that you talked about just checking in on the lead to make sure that, you know, generally you're across the hall or something like that. So you can bounce mm-hmm. back and forth as you go on. And then once the reception starts, you're kind of working as a team together. And the same thing with the ceremony. So as far as associates are concerned, many associates start with us that don't have a ton of wedding experience. Maybe have only right. shot a half a dozen weddings or something like that to start with us and then go out. And so it just sounds like you came in with a little bit more experience than most, mm-hmm. not most, than a lot of the newer photographers. Of course, to be an associate with us, you have had to have shot it. Some weddings and are, you know, are familiar with the wedding experience in general. But it definitely sounded like you came on board, with a little bit more experience, which is great because you were able to jump into a lead. You definitely have, I won't hold it against you that you're an icon shooter. I'll forgive you for that. You've got some great glass. I see that you have a mixture of, and I asked the guy yesterday, you have a good mixture of zooms and a couple of, actually you only have one prime, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Just one prime. So you're a zoom shooter. Zooms. You're solid yeah. into the zoom shooting. Mm-hmm. Real quick, tell me what was your decision process in doing zooms versus primes?
I think it's, I don't want to be up in people's faces. Mm-hmm. And I can shoot if I have my like 70 to 300, I can be across the room mm-hmm. and not disturb that moment.
Yeah.
And that, so that's for me. That's why I picked that. I was like, best choice, good lenses within my budget. And it worked.
That's a great answer. I'd be curious to check in with you in the next 5 years to see if it stays that way. Because I can see you're a gearhead and I can see you going out and be like, you know, I really need a 50. I really need this or I really need that. Okay, I have one more question. So mm-hmm. you talked about setting up lights during the reception and that you like to do that. I see that you've got that. It looks like you've got the Flashpoint Evolve 200. So those must be the, and you mainly for your portraits. What do you set up during the reception?
So it's the two flashpoints that I use. I just kind of, so what I use, I mainly use bounce light. So I just like, depending on the room and the colors of the room, I just mm-hmm. like point them up the room, put them on, you know, a decent power and just kind of go from there. But I also have like a flash unit on my camera to kind of help balance those shadows as well. So it's like a three light system that worked pretty well.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. And, you know, getting to learn how to use those takes a little bit of, a little bit of time for sure. Mm-hmm. But I highly, mm-hmm. I love when people use reception lighting because you generally, if you're on the East Coast, you're in a very, very dark room.
Yeah.
Most of our receptions are Saturday night and there's very little available light. And while our cameras are super fast these days, even with the Z6s, if it's crappy light, it's crappy light, right?
Yeah, you can't change that.
So being able to add a little bit of pop mm-hmm. makes a huge difference. Cool.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up there. This has been a great conversation. I love hearing about how people get into photography. And, you're definitely one of the more unique people as far as that's concerned.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story with us. Moving, you know, from associate to lead. I think that'll be super helpful for people as well. And thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. This is great. Super, super great time.
Cool. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week's episode of Success Stories. If you have a success story you'd like to share with us, please do. You can reach out to me, jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. That's jgroup with two P's @orionphotogroup.com. And we'd love to have you on the show. As a thank you, we give every one of our guests a $25 B&H gift card, which I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's kind of like enough to pay maybe some of the sales tax, but hey, look, every little bit helps. Exactly. And again, really appreciate you being on here today. And we'd love to have you on our show. Reach out to us and we will talk to you guys next week on Success Stories. Thanks for listening in. All right, that'll do it for this episode featuring OPG's Best of the Best. Would you like to be featured in an upcoming episode, or do you have a suggestion for somebody you'd like to hear from in our little community? Please email me, jgroup2p@orionphotogroup.com. That's jgroup@orionphotogroup.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing your suggestions. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you and your story. That's it for now. We'll see you on the next episode. Have a great day.